and they continue to be. So repeat after me. I can do this.
I can do this.
Right. Whatever it is, I can do it. So our definition for sacred stewardship that we've looked at every week for the past 6 months is the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. And we're talking about the very crux, I think, of what we teach in Science of Mind this month, this idea of being able to focus our intention. I think that is a very basic thing, but sometimes it can be a very challenging thing. So we definitely want to preserve this. And as I was going through changing the slides and preparing for today's talk, this was last week's, and I thought it still fits. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed from one form to another. So last week, we were talking about our physical forms changing into another form, whatever that form is, and when we go on. But whatever that we want to create in our lives or create more of in our life is just energy changing form. Money is just energy and it changes form. It comes and goes, it comes back again. Always remember, it comes back again. So Ernest Holmes says, if anyone should ask whether or not God has any intention for him or her, the answer would be that the only intention God could have is man as an individual, would be to let the individual alone to discover himself. So when we talk about God's will, it's not that, you know, God has a specific plan for us and we have no choice other than to figure out this plan and follow it. It's that we discover what makes our soul sing, what makes our heart sing, and we go and we pursue that. We do that. In the discovery of the self, man impresses the law, which is sensitive, creative, and can deduce only, students take note, with the images of his own belief about himself, and the law creates a form around these images. So it's the discovery of the self that impresses the law. So in this story that he's talking about in this reading today, there were two people who got out of prison. There were two people who had been convicted. They could have both had that same experience, but one had a very different experience. So what was different between the two? Well, I would say that the one man found his passion. He said, I can do this. I can take my experience and I can use it to help others. And people respect that. They want to know, how did you overcome these obstacles? And so they're eager to learn. And the other person just bought the old stories, it was same old, and he didn't understand how he could lift himself up out of the quagmire he was in. And we can relate, I think, to both sides of those stories at different times in our lives. So Dr. William Tiller has been in New Thought for many years, and he started first experimenting with prayer kind of on his own and the power of intention on his own. And then he decided to take that into the scientific community. So I thought those of you who are more scientific-minded would enjoy this story. He created experiments using very serious meditators, people who had meditated for years and had proven results through their power of intention in their meditation. They imprinted a machine with this intention, and then they took the machine, wrapped it up in aluminum foil, and carried this machine thousands of miles to another location, a clean environment, and they put water beside it. And because of the power of this intention, the pH of the water changed. And then he discovered further that the longer they did that, the more it continued to change. So therefore, the power of intention is cumulative. Just like one is blessing, it's cumulative. The more you get it, the more you get it. So I love it when the scientific community supports what we've been teaching and believing in for eons, because even though we call it new thought, it's ancient wisdom and a new verbiage. So therefore we know that if we set that same level of power of intention, we cannot fail. We may stumble once in a while because we live in the world. And the world sometimes pops up with wonderful surprises. Sometimes we like to think of them as tests. Oh, I'm just being tested. Yes. Yeah. And it's okay. I'm passing the test, okay? I'm moving on. So we need to program ourselves. We need to believe in ourselves. So let's start right there with I believe in myself and my abilities. Let's say that together. I believe in myself and my abilities. Let's say it again. I believe in myself and my abilities. Because even if you set a power of intention, you say, well, I really want to do this. If you don't really believe you can do this, then is it going to happen? No. Or it's not going to happen to the level that you'd like to. So you need to start off with confidence in yourself and faith in your abilities. Ernest Holmes continues on. We are so intimately connected with the universal creative God power that it is impossible to get away from it. Because it is oneness, it is unity. Can we ever get away from oneness and unity? No, we are really immersed in it. Hence, we never have to wonder whether or not we are in touch with it. Are we ever really separated from it? No. So when we feel separated from it, what happened? We bought into a thought. Is it a true thought? No. It's just a thought. It is where we are and we are in it. It is in us. It is around it. It is flowing through us. We give direction to it. We have a perfect right to use it for any legitimate purpose of self-expression. So I italicize this. It really looks interesting with this curve. But we have a perfect right to use it for any legitimate purpose of self-expression. Back in the day when I started out in science of mind and went to Terry Cole Whitaker's, we used to have bumper stickers we put on our cars that said, prosperity is my divine right. And at the time, that was really a new thought for me, that it was a divine right. It wasn't a privilege for a few, it was my divine right. So remember that. Whatever it is, if it is for an intention toward more life for ourselves and others, then it's okay. Go for it. Do it. If our whole intention is toward more life for others and ourselves, then nothing evil can result from our use of this law. Again, based on our level of beliefs and how much we are immersed in the world, it can be a little bumpy or it can be very smooth. And I know we both have all had both experiences. There's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, like Reverend Ron Fox was talking about in the spiritual reading. Only results. So I want you to think about today those things that you're interested in versus those things that you're committed to. Hopefully everyone here is committed to growing and expanding the center. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Are we interested in it? We're interested in it, but we're also committed. Yes. So think about the things in your life that you're interested in. It's nice. And then those things that you're really committed to. Like you two are really committed to each other, and we see that all the time, and it's beautiful to see that. What else are you committed to? You are committed to taking care of the animals.
It's not convenient at all.
But you are committed to say that we are with birds in the sanctuary instead of dogs.
Cats.
Yes. And she postponed her trip to make sure there was someone to take care of her cat. The feral cats. So that's her commitment, and she's passionate about it. And that's the difference, is the level of passion. When we're really committed to something, we have a great passion for it. When the passion wanes, you need to look at it. You know, why am I not so passionate about it now? Maybe you just need to refresh yourself, or maybe it's not what's for you anymore. Maybe you need to make a new commitment to that or something else. There's something else that wants to sing through your soul. So, when I was about to start ministerial school, I finished practitioner training and I was ready to go to ministerial school, and Reverend Kathy Hearn knew this, and she knew that I needed to kind of be helped push down the nest somewhat. She invited me to stand up in front of 800 people and tell 800 people my intention was to attend ministerial school.
Oh my goodness.
So when you tell 800 people, you kind of like, I think I better do this. So there's not 800 people here today except in spirit. So I'm declaring that my intention is to go back to India in September of this year, I'm being very clear, September 2015, to attend the new courses at Oneness University and finally and at last take the trainer's course so that I can teach the workshop and make people Oneness Blessing givers.
Yay.
Yay. No. Can everybody support me in that intention?
Yes.
Thank you. So that's the other part of it, is when you figure out what your intention is, you don't go telling everybody. Like, if I go tell everybody at Macy's, some will go, oh, really? Why would you want to do that? You're never going to be able to afford that, or you really should be here working, or any number of their stories. And some will go, that's great. So you find the people who are going to support you in your intention, who are going to say yes to God with you. And don't tell the other people until, you know, like, you're really ready. You got your suitcase packed and you're on going on the plane. Then you can tell them. And they can have whatever story they want to have then, because you're gone. It's a very long flight.
How long is the course?
The course, I will be gone at least a month, maybe a skosh longer. And so I have actually invited Reverend Roberta to come and be here with you if it works out for her in her life. And so she might even be available to teach some classes.
What would we like to talk about?
So, make your decision. This is what I'm committed to. This is the intention. intention I'm declaring. At Oneness University, their favorite equation, it's kind of like E equals MC squared, their favorite equation is grace equals intention and effort. So grace, being that feminine energy that we talked about last month, is supported and knows how to support you by you taking the more masculine energy and saying, this is my declaration, this is my intention, and this is what I'm going to set in motion. So effort is not always, this is the grunt work, this is what I have to do. Yes, there are things I have to do, and some of those things help me in supporting me in that declaration of my intention, like paying the $100 deposit for the course, without knowing where the other $6,400 is coming from. It's just a number. It's just a number. And Spirit supports me in knowing that I have all of that. And perhaps Kickstarter will help me too. We'll see. Or whatever. I don't know the difference. Lucy, you know, you can help me with that. See, I'm getting support. Let me set up a campaign online. Yes. You can help me decide which one is the best one. And then we can all support each other in our intentions. So we're going to take a little bit of time in a few minutes for you to just kind of meditate and on what intention you would like to set into motion. And then we're going to support each other in those intentions. So I'm going to have you start it today and then sit with it through the week and bring your intention written down, drawn, however you want to do it. And we're going to place them on the altar next week. Okay?
I'll send mine right in
here,
okay?
Okay. Now you have that physically set up. When you go on the internet and looking for things. But I like the quote too. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Let me say that again. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. So don't play small. You know, Marianne Williamson always says, don't play small. Right. Be bold. What do you want? You want a best-selling album? You want to tour the United States? You already toured Europe. You want to buy the perfect house out there in Whiteland? You want the perfect relationship, a great trip, perfect health? Start there. And then it's okay to fine-tune it. You know, be careful what you say. If you ask for a green car, meaning you want an interim car, and you get a green car, it's because you weren't clear enough. But eventually, several years later, you get it. That's good.
You get a green car.
A green car, yes. The thing that we want to avoid is what they call outline, where we don't just tell the universe what, but you want to tell the universe exactly how, and what avenue, and who, and then you limit spirit that way. I know the times in my life when I've done that, it's either, you know, I didn't get it at all, because it really wasn't the right fit for me, and somehow spirit knew that and supported me in being bigger, or it was like, I got it, and I'm like, oh. Can I choose again, please? I think that's especially happened in jobs and relationships. I was reading a blog from New Agey kind of person. It was her birthday. And so on her birthday, she was reflecting back on the path that got her where she is now. And she's some kind of, you know, law of attraction coach or something. And she was talking about the different jobs she had. And she was trying to find something good in every job. And some of it was a little bit more of a stretch than others. But they were all stepping stones along the way to get to where she was today. So we celebrate everything that's gone before us. But now that we're looking in the now, in the future, we want to be clearer than ever. We want to go, this is it. I want to experience this. And I'm not going to tell the universe exactly how it's going to happen. But I know the end result is that I'm going to be sitting in front of the beautiful altar in the Oneness Meditation Hall in September when the course starts. And I don't need to know what it's going to take to get there. But along the way, the things that come up for me to do, I will do. Like starting some kind of Kickstarter campaign, like making my deposit, like being friendly with my ex-husband, whatever it takes. But I'm not going to worry about it and try to micromanage every little step. I'm going to do my meditations. I'll be back doing my 108 mantras for manifesting wealth, prosperity, and abundance, because hey, why not? Because what does that do? That clears the cobwebs out of my mind. It's nothing really magical. Except the 108 is that there's that many Hindu gods, that many names of God in the Hindu tradition. So that's where 108 comes. For them, it's a sign of completion. You touch base with everybody. I don't think that's a bad thing. And I don't even know the names of all 108. I can just say it 108 times or see it. And I might go back and forth between doing our offering affirmation and the Hindu Sanskrit version, because they both work. And it's just fun. I'm an Aries with a Gemini moon. I need to make it entertaining. And change it up. And see, I know that about myself. How am I going to maintain it? I'm going to maintain it by changing it up, by lightening it up, by making it fun. Because if it becomes a drudgery, then it'll just become something that interests me, and it's no longer my commitment and my passion. Although I'm pretty sure this is my passion. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. As the long and winding road to the trainer, of course. So I'm going to have you close your eyes. If you want to get out a piece of paper, actually, before you close your eyes, jot down a note about whatever comes up for you, you can do that, or get out your iPad, whatever. Whatever works for you. Or you can just tell yourself that you will remember whatever it is. So again, as we close our eyes, we just reconnect into source. Reconnect into the power and the presence of the divine energy that is all that is. That is our manifestation partner. And we're going to go within that heart space. Because our passion and our commitment lies not in the head, but in the heart. The head's immediately going to try to figure it all out. We're going to drop down into the heart. Just breathe deeply into that flow of the breath and the heartbeat. And become one with the breath of God. Know the breath of God is breathing you even as you are breathing the breath of God. Become one with the heartbeat of the divine, the heartbeat of everyone here. Beats in sync. hang out at the sacred chamber of the divine.
Master, my arisen self, what is my passion? Or what is our passion?
Just allow yourself to receive whatever you receive.
Bring up your whole brain experience to this answer. Allow yourself to see it visually and hear it. Smell it, taste it, touch it. Because the more that we can bring our whole brain experience into it, the more we can embrace and embody it. Now the next question to ask your higher wisdom self, your Amakua, is,